Hello, True Stories of Good People listeners. Now, more than ever, is the time to come together, spread kindness, and lend a helping hand to others. For this holiday season, we are introducing 5 GoFundMe causes, which bring charities, individuals, and supporters like you together around a common interest and need. From COVID-19 relief, to justice and equality, to education and more, your donation supports both urgent aid and long-term relief. You'll also receive updates from the people and charities that you've helped. You have the power to change someone's life while experiencing the joy of giving back. Visit GoFundMe.com/holiday to find your cause and get inspired. Hello, and welcome to another episode of True Stories of Good People, a GoFundMe Heroes production. I am your host, Kelsey Little. As our listeners know, in each episode of this podcast, we sit down with someone who's making a difference in the world or who has had their life changed by someone kind. And during this holiday season, we'll be focusing our episodes on 5 GoFundMe causes and the people making a difference within each of those needs. Today, you'll learn more about the justice and equality cause, and you'll meet kid hero Maddie Wilson. When 7-year-old Maddie noticed that there weren't any crayons at school that matched her skin color, she told her mom that it made her sad. Motivated to help all kids feel seen and represented, she launched a project to help deliver multicultural books and art supplies to classrooms in her school, and it grew bigger than she ever imagined. Hello, True Stories of Good People listeners. I'm so thrilled to be here today chatting with kid hero Maddie Wilson and her mom, Vashti. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
I would love to start off by getting to know you both a little bit. I believe you're based in Solvang, California. Is that right?
We are.
Yes.
Isn't that cute little like Dutch-themed wine town?
It is. How would you describe our town?
I'd describe it little and cute and friendly.
Very friendly. Yes, it's very picturesque, very quaint. Yeah, but you are correct. It is a little Dutch town.
That's awesome. So, are you a wine drinker, Vashti?
No, I don't drink any alcohol.
Oh, well, I was going to say that must be awesome living up there, but...
And I have about 3 friends here that own vineyards, and they, you know, but one does this non-alcoholic wine for me, which is delicious. Ooh. But no, I don't drink any alcohol, so...
Nice. Well, respect. And Maddie, what would you say is your favorite part about the town that you live in? What do you like to do for fun there?
We like to go to the park. Mm-hmm. And we like to go to restaurants. And sometimes we plan special things in the parks. And we go to our friends' houses. It's just a cute little town. We have breakfast everywhere.
Nice. So,
and the horseback riding.
And there's horseback riding. But it's very expensive.
that's so fun, though.
It is. The horseback riding is about 4 times the normal cost here because it is a tourist town. So, but we do go periodically.
That's awesome. I love that. Have fun. Well, so kind of to jump into things, as we all know, 2020 has been unlike any other year in recent history for so many reasons, but let's start with the pandemic, maybe, which has affected people in like every corner of the country and beyond. First, how is your community holding up? How has Solvang been dealing with it?
It's been great.
Yeah, I would say we're fortunate that a lot of our neighbors and the community is really close-knit here. That has made it better. I will say it's been difficult with the virtual learning aspect because especially, you know, owning my own business and having to work from home and then to over, you know, to kind of supervise the virtual learning, it's hard. So other than that, I mean, we're doing the best that can be expected. You know, so many people have it worse. So we are grateful for that. But it's a lot.
Yeah. I so much respect for all the parents out there this year. Well, Maddie, how has it been for you as a student? I think you're in 2nd grade right now, right?
I'm in 3rd grade.
You're in third. Oh, right. A new school year just started. Yeah, 3rd grade. So what has it been like to be
a kid and a student during all of this time.
It feels great. And once I get up from this chair, I'll be like bouncing around. I have a bouncy ball. We go to the park, and it's so fun being a child. And it's very fun.
Yeah, she likes being at home.
That's awesome. I love to see someone thriving during quarantine. Giving me life.
Yeah, it's good for her. You are silly girls.
So moving on to another part of your story, which we're here to talk about today. So Maddie, I read on your GoFundMe campaign that you love to read and watch movies. Is that right?
Yes.
What are some of your favorite books or movies off the top of your head?
I love Pride books, and I love Black story movies, like Annie, the second version. I also like Black Panther.
Oh my gosh, that's such a good movie.
And yeah, it's really good. Black history movies. I like Pride, Black History. I like The Big Bed. I like Get Up, Stand Up. And I like Hair Love.
I've heard of that one. That's a great list. I love that. All of those books sound awesome. And an important part of this story is not too long ago, I think you made an important observation that kind of aside from those books that you just mentioned, which are all so great and full of representation, you weren't kind of seeing main characters that look like you in many of the books and movies that you saw. Can you share a little bit about that with us?
It's just my white eyes were torn to the main character. It was like a brown person, like seriously, a Black history person. I've never seen that in such a long time, because usually my favorite movies don't have Black history, like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Maleficent, Alice in Wonderland, and some TV shows.
Yeah. So, Bashti, do you remember... Did you have any of those same feelings when you were younger and kind of looking at the media that you were consuming?
So out here, you know, we're in California, and I grew up in California, and I grew up in what is called the GATE program. It's a gifted and talented education. And it's a program whereby if you're at an accelerated level, they kind of would put you in a separate portion of the school or at an entirely different school. So from the third grade on, I was the only person of color in all of my classes until high school. And that experience at times, I remember in middle school, my teachers would actually make me retake the test in front of them to prove that I hadn't cheated. I went into the Air Force as a cryptologic linguist, and there were four of us. So a linguist, you have to be in the top 15% to go into that career field. And of that 15%, the top 4% can pass the test to become a linguist. And so I remember at basic training, there were three of us in that squadron that had come in as linguists. And so they call us to go to a meeting. And I remember going into the meeting, and all of the people there were confused and telling me that I was in the wrong place. And I said, well, you guys asked for the linguist to be here. And they are looking at each other confused, because right away they couldn't comprehend that I would be one of those people. And that has been a consistent experience in many circles that I've been in, where I'm usually the only one, and my presence is questioned there.
And there needs to be a change in that.
I couldn't agree more. Well, first of all, thank you for sharing that. And then, so like, how did it feel as a mom when, you know, Maddie was asking these questions of you and like asking why there weren't more main characters that look like her?
So when we moved out here to Santa Barbara County, I initially put her in private school, and I was very happy to be able to give her some advantages in that regard. Unfortunately, it didn't go so well, because she was literally the only African-American student in the entire school, student, staff, everything. And comments were made about her skin color, about her hair. It didn't feel good, because you work very hard to be able to give your children opportunities. And then for her not to be able to take full advantage of those because of implicit bias or, you know, subversive racism. And even here, you know, I'm fortunate that there are some wonderful teachers here, but there are certain things that she experiences as well. And I can't protect her from that, you know? So that at times can be very difficult to try to balance what she encounters at school versus what I can teach her at home.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Again, thank you for sharing that. You mentioned school, and that's kind of my next part of my questions is, so as I understand it, you know, these questions about representation in books and movies led to another conversation about the fact that Madison, you noticed that the skin colors available in the crayon boxes at school were only peach colored. And I'm just wondering how that made you feel when you realized that.
It made me sad, but most of the crayons weren't actually peach colored or brown colored. They were just one little dark peach crayon and one little brown. So even the white peach people felt that way too. It wasn't just for the black people.
Yeah, I mean, because there's a range of skin tones, you know, all across the board. Yeah, that's a really good point. So this kind of led you to wanting to get, you know, crayons to your school, you know, that represent, you know, all skin tones and people of all races and ethnicities better. You know, why is it so important for kids to have access to something like that?
Well, because when you don't have something to that, it makes you sad, right? But when you get, but when it happens, like when I first drawed with one of the brown crayons, it actually matched me. Out of all my life, a crayon really matched me. And that day, I was so happy that I couldn't fall asleep. It was like the best dream ever in my mind, because I actually had a crayon that matched me.
You drew a picture of the two of us, right?
Mm-hmm. And I drew a picture of Pride Pictures, boy and girl.
That's awesome. So Vashti, what, I mean, that touches my heart so much. Like, what was that like for you to see, you know, your daughter feel so elated just because she could see herself in a box of crayons?
For her, just watching her, it was her and two other little girls. They are the only three children at the school that are African-American. And I had all three at my house, and just speaking with them, it kind of broke my heart that they were saying they wanted straight hair or blonde hair or different color eyes. To see them, you know, being proud and to see her drawing herself and elated that it looks like her, that it's an accurate depiction and representation of who she is, that made me feel good because ultimately we just want our children to be okay. And so I had been concerned about where I had, you know, moved to and the community. And even though we loved it, that we're less than 1% here. But seeing that, it made me feel okay in the inside that she's getting it and she still has that confidence.
Oh my gosh, that's so beautiful. So Maddie, after you noticed that, you know, there's kind of a lack of maybe the types of stories that there should be made available to kids and these kind of crayons with, you know, a wider range of colors and skin tones, you decided to do something about it. So I would love to hear all about how Maddie's treasure box came to be. Where'd the idea come from?
Well, I was watching a movie and nobody brown was in that movie. I decided to come up with a crayon line, so I took a speech in front of
hundreds. Yeah.
Thousands.
It was hundreds.
I took a speech in front of thousands.
What was your speech about?
It was on Juneteenth. And it was about how this should be right. And it was about how this can't be wrong because, let's just say pride.
And so
you were trying to, your speech was about what? And then what did you want to do?
I wanted to buy multicultural crayons and pride books. Very interesting books. And, we're so close to finishing them. My mom is working on the wrappers.
So, I love that. And Vashti, like, maybe from your perspective, like, what exactly is Maddie's treasure box and what does it provide to whom?
So initially what she wanted was she loves artwork too. So she loves reading. At the second grade level, she tested at the sixth grade, fifth month level. And so she's an avid reader. And she loves to draw. And so she wanted to donate the multicultural crayons and the books with diversity to her school, which I said was great, but mommy's not going to pay for that. So what can we do to raise money? And so for June, yeah, go ahead.
I decided to raise money.
You decided to raise the money. So her goal was $2,500 initially, which she raised in a day and a half. And then we kept getting correspondence, people asking us to continue with the fundraiser and to adopt more schools. And long story short, it just kept happening. Even NBA player Aaron Holiday reached out to collaborate with her.
And now look at us, $55,000.
$55,000. Aaron Holiday has been extremely supportive of her and her initiative. So he's undertaken different schools in Indianapolis, Los Angeles, and the foster care. So the Maddie's Treasure Box are special boxes filled with hardcover books with diversity, multicultural construction paper, multicultural crayons, a special coloring book, and then the teachers as a gift, as support of them, they also got a special gift card to one of the local coffee shops supporting small businesses. So, yeah.
That is so amazing. Well, yeah, so you blew your goal out of the water. Your GoFundMe mm-hmm. campaign has just over 1,200 donors. Maddie, how does that feel that so many people from around the world are so supportive of this amazing mission that you started?
It feels so great. Like, everyone took me under their wing or a lucky charm or go a lucky charm.
You felt like a lucky charm?
I felt like a four-leafed clover lucky charm under a Pegasus's wing, flying in the sky in the clouds when God is watching over me, and then Jesus makes sure I'm okay, and then I get to ride on a real-life unicorn even though I'm already underneath a unicorn, and then I'm being leaded in a flower patch by a leprechaun, and then a mermaid makes me a mermaid tail, and I get to take a swim into the ocean, and then I get to slide on rainbows. And then my
so it's terrific.
I need to get some Maddie energy in my life. Like, oh my gosh.
She is like this from the time she wakes up to the time she goes. I saw a few people making comments like she couldn't have come up with this on her own. I was like, meet this child and you will understand. Yes, she did. Because initially her goal was 500 books and 1,000 boxes of crayons. And I tried to talk her out of it. I said, Madison, you know, because she had no clue how much hardcover books cost. And she said, Mommy, that is my goal. Please put it in my story. So the story she has is strictly from her. And I really thought it was a lofty goal. And she did it. I mean, she far surpassed that. But she doesn't understand limitations, I will say, which is great. It's scary at times.
I love that. I get the pleasure of talking to kid heroes like all the time, and that's the common thing you all have in common is that you just think anything is possible, and you prove us adults, you know, wrong every time. I love that. Well, yeah. So how is that for you, Vashti, as a mom, like seeing your daughter make such a huge impact at such a young? You're 7 years old, right? Are you 8 now?
8 years old.
You're 8. Happy
turned 8.
First birthday. Happy birthday.
It's a double-edged sword, I would say. It's hard sometimes. At first, I was reading comments, which you have to be careful. And so you want to protect your child, you know. On the other hand, I don't want to curtail her and who she is and what she believes is possible. So I just had to get to the point where I took a back seat and let her lead as far as if this is something that she wants to do, my job is to support her in a healthy way. And that's what I've been doing. And just seeing so many people support Madison and her dream. it's fun. it makes me feel good as a single mom, you know, to have this community support her here across America and abroad. We've received messages from France. And what's your favorite place that you got the message from?
Austria.
Ooh. Have you had any conversations with the teachers or students who've benefited from the treasure boxes? Like anything that sticks with you?
So they haven't actually received them yet because we are waiting for the crayons. And then the amount of books that we purchased, it's taking some time to get those. They're supposed to be here in a couple of weeks. But Madison does have a new show called Maddie's Corner that comes out and debuts October 30th on YouTube. And so it's her with four girls from the Valley. And it's a show where, yeah, Madison reads a different book a week with a different diverse character. And then one little girl has a portion called Break Dance. So it's break dot, dot, dot dance. And so she teaches the kids a 2-minute dance. And then another little girl has a portion called So You Know. And that's where she does a short historical lesson on a person of color from history. So it's these five little girls that are third, fourth, and fifth grade having a show that's promoting literacy and diversity and inclusion. And so the schools, the principals have totally adopted it. They'll be releasing it when it debuts on October 30th. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait to tune into that. Are you excited for that, Maddie?
Mm-hmm.
You're already.
They were taping for 10 hours on Sunday. So she said, tell her I'm tired.
I get it. Yeah. Well, I appreciate your time so much. I know you're like a celebrity now. Well, so like you said, this got way bigger than you ever expected. So much so that Maddie's Treasure Box is an official nonprofit organization, which is kind of cool and amazing. So like what's kind of your dream for what this could turn into?
Well, so the great thing is she has her own multicultural crayon line, World Changer, coming out in November. So on Maddie's Treasure Box, the site goes live this week, and then they'll be able to pre-order the crayons. And the goal is in 2021 that for every pack that's purchased, Madison gets to donate a pack to inner city school. Mm-hmm. And then she's also coming out with a subscription box, a quarterly one. So what we didn't know was that a lot of authors of color, it's very hard for them to get published, which we weren't aware of that. And then once they get published, well, you know how they publish the book and you could go buy it in the store. A lot of times they have to self-publish because it's hard for them to get that. And then once they do, it's hard for them to get the marketing that they need for it to be successful. And so so many authors of color have reached out that Madison and I wanted to do a subscription box where we feature authors of color and it has a different theme. So in December, that box will be coming out and it's available and it features books, traditional holiday books with a twist. So Santa may be Latino or a woman and, you know,
Santa.
Yeah. It's just an easy way, you know, to introduce diversity in a fun way, you know, regular kids books that they know and love, but that they get to see it in from a different vantage point. So,
oh my gosh, that's so cool. I can't wait to keep following along with everything. That's so exciting. So Maddie, how does it feel to know that you're helping so many kids feel, you know, seen and represented?
It feels great to see kids happy like that, and especially for the adults. It feels so great for kids like me to be happy. It just feels like a bubbly thing inside of me. Like,
you don't know how to explain it.
Well, it's really happy to see kids very happy, like me. When I look in the mirror and see me smiling, I want to giggle, and it's really happy.
I just want to thank you both so much for everything you're doing and all the good things you're putting out into the world. I guess it's just like a closing thought, maybe from each of you, if you have one piece of advice for anyone who's listening to your story and wants to make a difference, just like you're doing, but they don't know where to start, what advice would you give to them for how to get started?
I would say, just start within your heart, and that's where you'll always find the answer.
I would have to piggyback on what Madison said. We just started. We just put the story out there. We didn't know how it was. It wasn't the perfectly written story. We didn't, you know, have the website. We didn't have the perfect answer. But what we did have was the courage to do it and the tenacity to see it through. And so as long as you have those two things, people will come out of the woodworks to support you. And that's what they've done for Madison. And I hope people get encouraged from that and her journey so far.
Thank you so much to Maddie and Vashti for being on our podcast today. You can support Maddie's mission at gofundme.com/heroes. If you were inspired by Maddie's story and you would like to change someone's life while experiencing the joy of giving back during this holiday season, be sure to visit gofundme.com/holiday to find your cause and get inspired. Thank you so much for listening to True Stories of Good People, a GoFundMe Heroes production. If you're inspired by today's story, please help us out by heading over to iTunes and leaving us a rating or review and subscribing to the show. And if anyone you know loves inspiring stories, please share our podcast with them. It means the world to us. For more inspiring stories just like the one you heard today, please visit the GoFundMe Heroes Hub at gofundme.com/heroes and be sure to subscribe to our mailing list so you can get heartwarming stories delivered straight to your inbox. You can also follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at GoFundMe Heroes. Also, we love to hear from listeners, so if you have any feedback, suggestions, or questions, you can write to us at podcast@gofundme.com. Special thanks to Gotham Podcast Studio, where this episode was remotely recorded, and to our editing team at Cloud Studios in Seattle, Washington. We'll be back next time with more true stories of good people. Talk to you then!